Bar's back open. Come on in. What are we, this is after the movies. What are we drinking tonight? I have, this is a pretty, you know, lately we've kind of abandoned the alcohol bit. I'm drinking a diet Snapple peach tea.
I have an empty mug.
Oh. Would you like anything in it? If I was like bartending, or would you just prefer to sip on an empty mug?
I just want to sip on the empty mug for this one.
That's fair. I feel like, I mean, that could be the twist in the episode. Is yeah, like at dude. The end, we find out that there was nothing in the mug.
Yeah, and I have to say from Tenet last week, all the food in our freezer at the bar is half of it spoiled and half of it is like not even ripe yet. So I don't know what we're going to do. We're not even going to be able to serve food this weekend. So everybody.
Thanks to our commenters, I know we ran a pincer movement on the food in our freezers, and that's why it ended up the way it is.
Yeah, and thanks to everybody who comments on these on YouTube. Thank you. I know we push the audio form of these a little bit more, but we appreciate any comments anywhere. So appreciate you guys.
Even if you hate our takes, even if you totally disagree, because I feel like between us not liking, well, I shouldn't say that. Between us ripping on Tenet, which I still think is fair, because I think Tenet can handle it. Mm-hmm. It's like a strong enough movie. We can pick on it a little bit. Between that and today's epic, I think we're going to have some divisive opinions in terms of people listening to this.
Well, what are we watching this week? What did we watch this week?
Jimmy, it's so nice of you to ask. It was Friday. I was like, what are we going to watch for the show? You know, I've seen a ton of trailers for this film. If you read the title, it's James Wan's Malignant. Every time I watched YouTube, I'd get like a trailer for this movie, like one of those 10-second, like, you know, a new landmark of horror. It would be like the guy crawling or something. And I like James Wan, but I also feel like I was getting a little tired of like Conjuring stuff, which is not all him. And this is kind of what I realized. I did some research. The Conjuring movies have turned into a universe of movies that I think have kind of gone downhill and become very predictable. And he's not responsible for all of those, but he is the person that started the Conjuring universe and the director of the first two films. Actually, look at James Wan's filmography. He makes pretty good films. I think there's maybe only two knocks I would have against him.
Yeah, let me pull up old Mr. Wan's filmography here, as we've started to do. Holy crap. He has Saw 2, Saw 3, Dead Silence, Death Sentence, Saw 4, Saw 5, 2008 film Doggy Heaven, 2009 Saw 6, Insidious, Saw 3D, The Conjuring, Insidious Chapter 2, Annabelle, Demonic, Furious 7, Insidious Chapter 3, The Conjuring 2, Lights Out, Annabelle Creation, Jigsaw, Insidious The Last Key, The Nun, Aquaman, The Curse of La Llorona, Annabelle, Mortal Kombat, Spiral from the Book of Saw, The Conjuring, Malignant. Man, he was busy in 2021.
Now, I think you are reading the list. Those aren't all directed films. I think some of those are the ones he produced.
Yep.
Even like stories, things like that.
That makes a lot more sense. I was like, how is this guy directing all these films?
Yeah, I think he dipped off the Saw thing right around Saw 2.
It looks like he was
produced, probably executive producer or something. Like,
yeah, Saw 2 was probably the last one.
But, so all of this to say, I did not know what to expect from Malignant. I was like, I don't know. Like, it looks like a haunted house movie. A lot of these haunted house movies are the same now. It feels like all these Annabelle and Conjuring movies are like, you know, just the same kind of boo, there's somebody there kind of thing. Boy, are we all in for a ride with Malignant? This is the kind of movie that it's so funny that James Wan directed Aquaman before this. It is so funny to me that he entered the DC universe and did such a good job that a studio heard the pitch for this movie and was like, yeah, all right, Here's your money. Go make it.
Because I want to.
This is the craziest studio film. I'm sorry. This is the craziest studio film I've seen in like, I can honestly think of. I'm sure there's, you know, other ones in the past, but like recent memory, I can't think of anything stranger than this in terms of like a major studio production.
Yeah, my biggest hot take with this film, and I'm going to say it and people can agree with me or not, I did enjoy most of this film, but I think you got to break it up into sections. I don't think you can just say that you liked the film or you hated the film. I think you got to say like I liked certain sections of it because it was a lot of different movies in one, I felt like. But the story at times felt like somebody that hates horror movies explaining to you what a horror movie is. And that was what my biggest take was when I first started watching this. It was like listening to somebody try to explain a horror film, but they don't like horror movies.
Like almost like it's like making fun of horror movies a little bit, you think?
Yeah, like it was too over the top at times. Like it was too exaggerated
over the top.
And I was
definitely
like,
definitely over the top.
While at times I think it was fitting, there was also times where I was like, okay, can we stop cutting like abruptly to the rain? Can we just stop for a second? It's like,
yeah.
And then she crawled on the roof and then it was raining. And then she broke and then it was raining. It's like, damn, let's calm it down a little bit here.
Let's talk about I will show my cards. I like this movie a lot. I have some issues with it, but it is. I am such a sucker for movies that are like really swing for the fences.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to overlook some things almost just because it is so crazy.
Yeah.
And I have not seen, you know, it's so unique that I am able to be like, hats off. Like, I won't forget watching this, you know?
No.
It's definitely an experience. Let's talk about the things that didn't work for us, and then we can slide into the things that we did like about the film. For me, the two things would be, number one, I do think that some of the dialogue was a little corny. I think there are some scenes that are kind of corny throughout. Her talking to, I guess we gotta just get this, you know, people have probably seen the film. If you haven't, spoilers. We just, in order to talk about it, we just need to say the thing. There's a film about a killer that is going around killing people, and she sees them when she's sleeping. She sees these murders being carried out.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn that Gabriel, the killer that talks to her from time to time, is not only like the, you know, it's funny because a normal horror movie, it would be like, they're the same person. But this one is, not only are they the same person, Gabriel is a physical twin that was absorbed, a parasitic twin that was absorbed in the womb that physically takes over her body and comes out of the back of her head and takes control of her limbs, does all kinds of crazy shit. And that's why she's able to see it when she's sleeping. Gabriel can show her what he's doing. So, when she, like, corny stuff throughout, there's definitely some dialogue where, like, she's talking to Gabriel at the end, and she's like, I get what they're trying to do, and I appreciate it. It's like this kind of taking your life back. It's definitely a metaphor for, you know, her abusive husband who dies at the beginning of the film. She's like, this is my body now. Like, I'm taking charge. And it's like, it's kind of heavy-handed. Like it's cool. I like the message. I just think it's a little, like, kind of corny the way she delivers it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I said earlier. It's just a little over the top. It's a little too exaggerated. And it's like, we talked about this plenty of times. It's like, your audience isn't dumb. Like, don't treat them like they are. It's like, we get what's happening. You don't need so much just like dialogue heavy and where it's just like so corny, like you were saying.
It's that's like, the biggest complaint I have. There was actually several lines where a character would say something, and I just thought like that didn't even have to be in the script. Like if you took that line out, the audience would still understand what you were trying to get across.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of spelled things out a little bit too much. The other question I have, which this is almost like I don't care that much because again this movie's so bonkers that it just goes for it, but how is it so good at killing people? It massacres a police station. It's like doing kung fu at the end of this movie.
Yeah, see, that's the part where it kind of like I think we first see it when the one doctor gets killed in the hotel. It like comes flying out and Gabriel just is like on top of him. It's like, and you're like, wow, that was crazy. You just flew on top of that man and killed him. And then we just see it get like gradual just increase at time. And then the police station scene was completely just bonkers, man. There's no other way to explain this. It was like,
it's sweet. Like, it's cool to watch.
That was one of my favorite parts of this movie, is watching that scene. But I'm like, how is Gabriel just so just like, just ripping through everybody? And it was like watching The Matrix almost. Like, you were like, how do you get these powers? And it was like, and it was like blocking stuff, breaking bones, the bones were coming out. Speaking of that,
bullets, like,
speaking of that, you asked, was I correct when I said this wasn't a film that Jess should watch?
That Jess could handle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be in terms of like, the two big things with her, like torture and rape. So it wasn't really bad along those lines. Rape is like a very, very small plot point that isn't like too detailed or anything. But the gore is pretty excessive.
Yeah, because there's blood just splattering everywhere.
The doctor gets his face like caved in, pretty much. And the one cop has his arms both like broken, like, you know, just snapped the wrong direction. It's intense. It's definitely, I think she was downstairs doing shit while I was watching this, and she'd come up every like 15 minutes and be like, oh, how's it going? And then I told her my prediction right when I messaged you. It was about, there's probably about 45 minutes left in the film. And that's what I would say too, is even when he jumped on that doctor, it worked for me at the time, because I was like, still trying to figure out if this is like a supernatural thing or if this is it's so interesting because the movie goes,
I thought
like
it was supernatural
house,
to be honest with you, for the longest time. I thought this person killing them was supernatural because you could see the face a little bit, that like weird demon face, and I was like, okay, this thing, things are starting to make sense. But I was very wrong. Things don't make sense.
The movie jumps from haunted house movie to The Ring, to like Basket Case, which is another movie about a guy that has a parasitic twin that he carries around in a basket that kills people. Great movie if you can find it, mixed with The Matrix at the end of the film. Plus the character's aesthetic is like, it's always wearing her like a weird ass trench coat, and it's uses her hair, just like kind of parts it back a little bit, so it's got this long black hair. And how scary, man, was it? Like, this movie, first of all, I want to say, like, I don't get scared anymore, really, like, with horror movies very often. And I wouldn't say this one, like, scared me, like, where it's, like, after I watched it, I was, like, you know, frightened. I was genuinely creeped out at the beginning of this film. The first kill with her husband, I was, like, I thought it was really effective.
Yeah.
And then the end of this film, when it shows Gabriel attacking people from the back and you see her face.
Yeah, that was like uncanny. That was like not okay. I was like,
genuinely upsetting, like unsettling. Mm-hmm. Very cool, but effective for sure.
Yeah, that probably
so what,
was
what else what else didn't work for you?
The way that it seemed like it. So one of my favorite parts about this film, I think I have to say, was one of my favorite parts in order to explain kind of what I was like kind of lost me at times, is I thought this movie was very visually appealing. I thought the style of it was really great, and every scene was really big, which is different for a horror movie. I think a lot of times they rely on like jump scares and like tightening your field of vision, so like you feel like you're cramped, so every little sound, every little movement. But this film was big, like every scene, like there was a lot of room in it. I thought the cinematography was great. But it seemed like as you were stating, it went through different stages of movies, and it also went through different stages of styles. And sometimes, like, the stylistic choices when they would switch didn't really appeal to me. Like, sometimes it would be, like, a really, like, genuine, like, horror film mixed with, like, the Matrix elements. And then at times it looks like a Disney film, almost. Like, it looks too clean at times, which is one of its benefits. Is also part that like kind of like it took me out of the movie. Like when something's like so stylistic and you're like, whoa, wait. And now you're like, oh, I'm watching a movie. It really shouldn't do that.
I think the tone is kind of inconsistent. There's like, I also love the way this movie looks. I think it looks very good. I was messaging you last night while I was watching it. And you know, my biggest pet peeve in film is when like film is so visually dark that you can't see shit. You can't tell what's going on. Big example of that is like,
is this podcast last... right now?
Zing. Yeah. You know, after dark here, it's after the movies, that's where it comes from. That's, but don't get your hopes up, because at the movies is gonna be the same. It's gonna look the same. I hate when you can't see what's going on. The like Harry Potter like 5 through 8 are like that. This movie does a great job of making use of the dark while also like you can see what's happening, so you're not second guessing. You're like, oh, like I can tell that they're fighting, but I can't see who's doing what. This you can kind of clearly see what's going on. But there's parts like I love. There are parts of the film where it's lit like in 70s 80s giallo film or Gaio film.
Mm-hmm. That the scene red, with the rain and the neon. Rain. Yeah, the like when that pink and red is coming through that window with the rain. That was probably one of the coolest scenes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not consistent. Like it's not throughout the whole movie, and it feels like it goes kind of back and forth from like the way a Conjuring movie feels, where you're just in the haunted house that's like dusty and maybe a little old, and there's a lot of wood and stuff. Suddenly being like neon lit, you know, outside this person's house or something. And then there's elements of humor in this that are kind of strange too. I didn't hate the girl that has a crush on the cop, but it felt out of place, I think.
Yeah, but when you talk about those dialogue and those like extra little like subplots, if you even want to call them that, it really takes you away from the film, because it's like you have to bridge it carefully, and it's not a sitcom. Like you're making a horror, like a horror film. You're not making a horror comedy. Like you're making a horror film. So like having these like little subplots that are just like there to kind of tease you or to like try to like make you laugh, I don't really think they work.
Yeah.
Like I didn't really like that kind of her being like, you know, that like little love interest thing and how he was kind of like smitten at times and, you know.
Yeah, it didn't go anywhere. It didn't go anywhere. A complaint that I read online also that I thought was interesting was her sister goes to the hospital to get her, Madison's files. And it's very strange that they set up this abandoned mental hospital to be perfect for some kind of scare. And nothing happens. She just gets the information and leaves. There's no like.
Yeah, I kind of almost enjoy that, because I think a lot of times I was gonna say this earlier when you were talking about when things are dark. I think it's easy to use like the dark or these abandoned houses as almost a cop out scare, where like you get an extra one in just because of the situation. Like
the environment or something. Yeah,
like I mean, we've seen it like 100 times. It's dark, and then all of a sudden, like there's a flash, and then something pops out, and you're like, "Oh my god, what is this?" And I think a lot of movies rely on that. Where this one, I think, almost like was like, "Hey, it's dark. Oh, nothing happened." Or like, "Hey, it's abandoned. Oh, nothing happened. We're gonna show you everything. We're gonna show you everything right up front." And I thought that was pretty cool.
It subverts your expectations for sure. I absolutely, I don't know what was going on down there, but I love that set when the cop chases Gabriel into like the basement of that building. And there's like a steady stream of fog, like a knee-high fog.
Yeah.
And there's like old shit in there.
That was cool, but that's the reason why I said it looked like a Disney Wes Anderson film, because it was like 2D at one point, and you're just like watching them go left or right, and you're like, are they like in a house? Like, I didn't know what was happening, especially when they went underground and there was like these things poking out. I was like, what is happening here?
There's like carriages and stuff. I have no idea. I don't know what was going on there. I just thought it was visually interesting. But Let's talk about the things that did work or the things that we liked. The effects for me, I absolutely, when the reveal of Gabriel, they do not hold back. You know, this is such a crazy premise, and it would have been so disappointing to have Gabriel be this like understated thing, like that's on her back or whatever. They did not spare any expense of having a practical effects like puppet on her back, and it looks fantastic and scary, and it feels like an old horror movie.
Yeah, when
it
feels her head,
like a genuine,
when her head just splits open and he just comes out, was probably one of the coolest things I've seen in film in recent years, man. It was awesome.
Yeah. So I love that. I would say, similar to how you were talking about the cinematography, one of the coolest things I noticed was that aerial shot of her running through the house, trying to lock doors and stuff when she, like, the electricity starts to go. So she knows, like, this Gabriel's, like, near. And so she's, like, running around trying to lock the doors and close the windows. And the camera does this aerial shot of her house, even though it's like two stories, it follows her running through like the, you know, house plan, essentially doing things. And it just looks so cool. Visually just so interesting.
Yeah, I think that they took a lot of big, they definitely swung for the fences in this film. And I think the majority of it worked, especially when we talk about the cinematography aspect. There were so many different techniques used in this film, and you know, maybe people disagree with me on it, but I'd say probably like 85-90% of it worked for me, which is pretty high considering like using so many different styles throughout the film.
Yeah, this is like a 4 out of 5 for me. This is a movie that's not perfect, but and that would be, you know, part of that positive score again is just straight up like how the audacity that this film has. Like, I won't forget it. And that really does go a long way with me. It or being an original film goes a long way with me, too. Because everything is so franchise-heavy or IP-heavy right now.
I will always give more credit to, like, original stories. Always.
Well, and again, this is, like, it's shocking to me that this got made by a major studio. It's very cool that it did, because it is a director doing one for them, being like, all right, I directed your Aquaman movie, now let me do this crazy movie that I want to do. And the fact that they actually gave them the money to do it, and that it turned out so well. This is a movie, I can't understate how much it means to me that, like, you're not going to forget this. This isn't like Conjuring 5. You're gonna go see it and there's gonna be a haunted house ride that lasts, you know, 2 hours, and then you're gonna leave and all those Conjuring movies are gonna blend together in your head, but you will not forget Malignant.
No,
people will mention it to you and you'll be like, oh, that's the one with the crazy puppet thing coming out of her back and the back of her head killing people with her body backwards.
There's no way you could forget this film. These scenes have stuck with me even now, because I watched it on Friday. I guess it's only a couple days, but it's still really fresh in my mind.
You know what it reminds me of? It's funny. Those old horror movies where it would be like, shocking, see the, you know, terror, so-and-so. It's like, those are things, again, that I don't really feel anymore when I watch horror movies. And it's not really like it's like a bad taste movie either, where it's some kind of like, you know, like we said earlier, it's not this thing of where it's like a rape film or like a torture film. It is this thing that genuinely shocks you, because you're not expecting it. And when the reveal happens, you're just like, what? It really is like a what the fuck kind of feeling. It feels kind of the way that horror is supposed to, even if it doesn't scare you. It definitely, you're left kind of with your jaw dropped. I did text you because I kind of had started to wrap my head around what I thought the plot twist was. But I will say, the reveal that got me, that made my jaw drop, like, I think I literally said to myself, like, oh shit, is when her mom escapes. Gabriel kidnaps her mom, and who looks so similar to her. At first, I thought it was her.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, no, I'm glad I'm not the only one here, because I was confused at the one part where I was like, wait, is that her? And I'm like, wait, no, it's not her.
because then she was back in the house, and I was like, what's going on here? Gabriel kidnaps her, and he ties her up to his wall, like in this mad scientist laboratory he's got going on, which was also kind of a very fun setting. And then she escapes. She falls through the floor, and it's Madison's house. She was in Madison's attic. And I did not expect that at all. I'm sorry, I'm at a loss for words. When I was watching it, I was like, oh shit, she just broke through, and the cops are standing there with Madison. Like, you, at that point, you are strapped in, like, what is going on here? You know?
Yeah, that was kind of almost, that was one of the, I don't know, I at least thought it was comedic, the way that it was presented, because they're like, who's doing all this? Then it's like, and it's like, oh, she's doing it. And then she's in the cop car.
Madison is, I think, likable. And, you know, there's this horror trope of people not believing. You go to the cop and you're like, they're like, there's this guy dressed like Santa Claus on the loose. And the cop's always like, yeah, killer Santa Claus? Okay, I'll make sure to call his reindeer. Like, that kind of thing. I love the scene. And it is like some of it might be a little corny, but you kind of just take the ride. You take the ticket and you go for the ride. I love the scene where they're interrogating her, and they get a call from Gabriel.
What, the jigsaw call? It's like, hello, detective.
Yeah, it's like, it's very, first we call Detective Weaver. I like that because it was gratifying to see these people. You know, you're watching them. You know that she's not doing this.
Yeah.
And you want her to be okay. And so to see, you know, these characters proven wrong, to see the cops and be like, look, see, like, it's not her doing it, is very gratifying as a viewer to see that, I felt.
I just, how did Gabriel make that phone call, though?
Well, he's able to manipulate, electricity and broadcast his thoughts and stuff.
Oh, that's true. I guess he's kind of got, a telekinetic type thing going on.
Yeah, it's a little vague. Again, my biggest hang-up is, the physical powers. But they do a decent job of explaining it at the beginning in terms of, what he is capable of controlling.
Well, if you do think back to the end, though, when the hospital bed is on top of her sister, and her sister goes, there's no way you could do this. And she goes, if he could do it, I can do it. And she just rips that hospital bed right off of her. So maybe she's just really tough.
So yeah, that was another small minor complaint, but her sister's legs were totally fine. At hospital bed, I was like, oh, like, she was like in such pain. I was like, oh, her legs are like broken, or like her body is like fucked up. And then she just, she took the hospital bed off of her, and her sister literally, ran over and, dropped to her knees and was like, are you okay? Her legs were totally fine.
Yeah.
It was very bizarre.
They were trying to wrap it up. They didn't need any more.
No. And I think that's, another, this is a, I wouldn't say a long movie. It's longer. It's under 2 hours. But I don't think it overstays its welcome. I appreciated that, there was no major resolution or anything. It's just the last scene is the last scene. It doesn't drag out into this thing of she moved back into her house and now she's happier, but also here's a little twist so that you'll go see Malignant too.
They did set it up just in case they wanted to do a second one, though. They left the door open.
They did. Yeah. I'm sure. And I think they're expecting this.
And if I know big production companies, they're going to run this thing right into the ground.
We'll be back for Malignant 17 in 2025. We probably will be doing the podcast in 2025.
I hope so.
Malignant 4.
I hope we're still doing the podcast. I hope that we direct Malignant 5.
Yeah, that would be sick. I would definitely sign up for Malignant 5. This movie was so interesting, truly interesting.
Overall, it is not success.
For, Yeah, it's not for everybody, but I also like kind of, you know, secretly, this is the kind of movie where it's like, I want people who this movie isn't for to go see it, because this is like, I can picture myself in high school going to see this movie, not knowing anything about the twist, and walking out and being truly like, what the fuck just happened? And it makes me like horror movies because I was so shocked at that it was not just another haunted house movie. So I want this movie to do well.
Yeah, but I also think too, like, if you aren't into these types of movies, you're probably not going to watch it anyways, or at least you probably shouldn't. I don't know if this is the film where you're like, I'm going to get into horror movies finally. I'm going to finally just suck it up and I'm going to do it. You're like, I'm going to watch Malignant. And then you're going to watch it and you're going to go, I don't like these.
Somebody do it. If you haven't made it, if you haven't watched the film yet, and you made it this far into the podcast, if you're not into horror movies, give this one a watch and let me know. Let me know what happens. Let me know how it affects your brain. Time to cut the cancer out.
It's surprising.
There is also, I'm sorry, there is at the beginning, it threw me back to the 2000s because music that plays during the opening credits is like Rob Zombie industrial hard rock.
Yeah.
And there's like surgery footage. It was like the opening of like the Hills Have Eyes remake or something. It was very funny. It took me back to the mid 2000s.
The mid 2000s when things were a little bit simpler.
Mm-hmm. You had Amityville Horror remake with Ryan Reynolds. You had Hills Have Eyes remake. I don't even know who was in that one. Kind of sucked. had Last House on the Left remake. You had all the remakes. House of Wax remake.
There's a lot of remakes happening now, too, though.
Paris Hilton. It's very true. Very true. LeBron James wants to make a Friday the 13th film. We should let him.
All right, it's last call here at the Level Lounge. Please come up to the bar and get your drinks.
All right, so yeah, LeBron James and Madison shows up, but you and I know that there's a possibility that she could, her limbs could break backwards and she could turn into Gabriel.
Why is LeBron James coming?
He's there.
All right. I am letting them in as long as I don't see a bunch of Looney Tune characters following LeBron James.
I agree. Malignant, come on in. Have a few drinks. Stay a while. Let's talk about...
Uh-oh, Aaron. Oh, we let her in. The lights are going crazy.
Time to cut the cancer out, Jimmy.
Anyways.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Let's do our plugs real quick. I have a special thing real quick. Sorry. Next week there will be no movie because Jimmy and I are going to be ranking the films that we have watched for after the movie so far.
Oh.
We do it for every season of At the Movies, and we haven't done it for After the Movies. We're probably not going to go through all of them. We're both going to do a top five and a bottom five. So no movie next week, but a very special episode to correlate with the season finale of At the Movies. So join us then, and we will go from there in terms of after the movie. We're not going anywhere, but we're going to do a special episode.
Nice.
So.
We might take a break. We normally take 1 week in between seasons, but other than that, we'll let you know.
Sure. Yeah.
We'll let you know next week. But as always, thank you so much to our Patreon members, Dylan, Painter, and Jay Irvin. Thank you so much. If you'd like to join them, head on over to patreon.com/lomomedia and give us $3 or $5 or $10, whatever you want. It's up to you. And you get a bunch of tiers that have a bunch of different stuff, like behind the scenes content for our new season 2 coming up this Friday. Holy crap. Can you believe it? The Lomo Show season 2, episode 1 coming out this Friday. Or tomorrow, tomorrow. That's tomorrow when this podcast comes out. Tomorrow, you'll see it.
Yeah.
Time's weird. We're currently in a pincer movement in our own content.
Time keeps on ticking.
Aaron's actually...
the future as the same time as the past.
Aaron's actually moving forward in time while I'm moving backwards in time so we can make sure our content stays in line.
Can we switch? I'm scared of the future.
Nope, I like my job.
Also, if you want to help out the show, give it a share, tell a friend, that always helps. And more than anything, if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we will read it on the air. That would help us out tremendously. So if you have the time and you enjoy the show, it's an easy way to help that doesn't cost you anything.
I'd actually like to read our first 5-star review from last week. It says, Jimmy, you look good without a hat. You have more hair than what people are telling you about. Don't let them keep by you down. You gorgeous, gorgeous man. So I don't know who did it, but thank you so much. That was great.
Is there a username attributed to that?
No.
And they didn't say anything about me?
They said you're all right.
All right. This is kind of fucked up. Don't leave a review like that. All right. Say, listen, talk about my curls or we don't want you listening to the podcast. What a strange episode for a strange movie.
Yep.
All over the map.
Anyways.
All right, guys.
We're shutting this bar down. See you next week.
Get out of the bar.
Get out.